Hop, hop, hibbity hop, folks. We're back on the beat tonight. It's the Covered It Boys back in the booth once again. This is the only show in town tonight, folks. We've got our podcast voices purring. We've got our podcast hats on our caps. You only live once, folks, so you may as well join the rest of the population and start a pointless podcast with your best pals. If this is the first time you are joining us and are wondering what you have signed up to, well, in the words of Elbert Hubbard, don't take life too seriously, folks. You'll never get out alive. This is just a not-so-serious podcast, taking a relaxed view on the wonderful game we all love called golf. This podcast is brought to you by quackgolf.com for all of your summer golfing threads. And also, if you're looking to book a golfing trip with your friends, with your dads, with your moms, whatever you want, lionslinks.com. That's where you go. Boys, I'm back.
What was that?
That was like a 70s radio commercial or like a 50s radio commercial. That was unbelievable. Nice.
Is this what happens after a few months off?
Yeah, well, look, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a huge fan of No Laying Up, right? The biggest podcast in the world. And I feel like whoever does the intro on that, they always get like credit for doing it right and doing a good intro. So I feel like, you know, whoever does the intro on this podcast needs to nail it.
Kind of sets
because now tone. whoever has stumbled upon this podcast has now gone, oh, I might hang around.
Have they, or have they just skipped on to the next episode of something else?
Don't know. Well, I hope they don't Google Elbert Hubbard, because I'm not entirely sure if he said that or not. But I do know that the Joker from the Batman paraphrased it. Why so serious?
There you go.
Also, don't Google that. Right. So with me tonight, it's a regular podcast, folk. I'm joined by the regulars. Top left corner, Mr. Ben Scott. How are we doing?
Patrick, I'm good. All the better being back in the booth with you. It's summertime. We're into golf season. It's just a good time of year.
It's beautiful. Mr. Scott Sullivan.
Patrick, how are we doing? I'm good. Since we last saw each other 30 minutes ago on the putting green in Portmarnock Links, I'm good. Again, good spirits, nice for a bit of sunshine. Big golf trip this weekend, which I'll get into in a bit, that I'm really looking forward to. So I'm hoping that this weather holds out.
Great, great stuff. Actually, Ben, we should tell you just before we get into the shout outs that myself and Scott were playing a putting game called Par 27, and it is a lot of fun. So basically, you set up a 3-foot putt, an 8-foot putt, and a 30-foot putt. Mm-hmm. And you do that 6 times. And if you hole all of your 3-footers, if you 2-putt all of your 30-footers, and if you 1-putt 3 out of your 6 8-footers, that's 27 putts. And that's the PGA Tour average.
And how did you get on?
I had 27, Scott at 28. Yoo-hoo!
I missed it. I missed a 3-putt. I made the 8-footers in early time and I was like, grand, I'll just make it up by making another one. And then I missed a stupid 3-footer.
Yeah, Scott had 4 out of 6 8-footers.
Wait, so you just have to 2-putt the 30-footer?
Yeah.
2-putt the 8-footers?
No, you have to get 50% of your 8 feet.
And then get all your 3-footers.
Yeah, Scott missed a 3-footer but made 4 out of 6 8-footers. It's a brilliant game because Scott got to the last putt. Scott got to the last 8-footer and he had to hold it for 27, wasn't that it?
No, I made 3 out of 6 8-footers. And if I made the 4th one, I would have covered the 3.
Oh, sorry. Yes, sorry, you missed.
But that's why I got 28, yeah.
But Ben, it's brilliant because we got to the last putt and I could see Scott's knees were wobbling. The pressure was on and he was... It was basically a very like the golf course kind of pressure you would feel.
Yeah, I like that.
I did my best impression of Shani the last
Jersey Dudek.
Shani the last time that Shani and I played each other in a match play. It was that was my impression of Shani just bottling it. So you know.
Can I get, since I haven't been playing any golf with you, can I get a handicap update? What's been going on?
From you, I haven't got
either or both.
Yeah. I've actually played a bit of golf for once, which is big for me. considering that I've not been playing that much. Starting the season with a couple of like 90s. I had 108 there where I walked off after Ooh. Nine.
Wow.
Yeah, but shot 78 on Sunday with a triple and a double. So
okay, nice.
Yeah, it's good.
So play better golf on Sunday. Still cannot hit a driver to save my life. I don't know what's going on these days, but put it well. So yeah,
nice. Finding some form. Shani, yeah, the quest for scratch.
Quest for scratch. So it's been a while since I've been on, right? The Masters has passed since, right? And I remember around the time of the Masters, Max Homa had a go at it. And he wrote this big long Instagram afterwards, where he said something in it about, if I don't win the Masters, I'll be okay. And I remember reading that going, if I don't get to scratch, I won't be okay. That will not be okay. Like, I'm not sure what would happen to me, but I want it so bad. And I feel like it's almost to my detriment that I want it that bad. And I can't get over the line. Got to 0.9 during the week, and I'm already back to 1.0. I lost 0.1 last night. Tried to play the St. Margaret's Open Singles, and it turns out that trees are something that you can't hit a golf ball through. You have to either go around them or over them.
Interestingly, you say that. I actually played this weekend. Shout out Pete McGreevy and his mate Mick. But
not Mick.
It was a very tree-lined course, as you would expect in and around London. And you kind of forget when you play a lot of links golf that you can just bomb a driver whatever angle you want, and like, you're okay.
Yeah.
If you hit a ball bang into a tree, it's not going very far.
Yeah. I'm actually very happy I played Margaret's last night to see a tree-lined fairway again, to kind of just give me that sort of vision again. Because when you play links golf all the time, you can just melt the thing and it doesn't really matter where it goes.
Bomb and gouge, baby.
That's my update.
That's also the issue, Shani, with playing so many counting rounds. Like you had that discussion on the podcast last time, is that it's a much more accurate representation of your golf, but it will fluctuate very quickly. So like your chance, you feel like your chance can be gone, even though it's the same number of rounds, but you're just doing it in a very quick succession.
Yeah, I've heard people say that if you play general rounds, you can get cut easier, but I feel I play so much golf, it's nearly to my disadvantage because I'm playing so often that I'm losing my good rounds.
The only good thing, though, as well, that you playing so much is that if you're playing to like a consistent enough basis within the 20, it does also mean that, you know, you won't have that many spikes massively. You know, if you letting a 77 or say a 73 that's counting go, you might replace it with a 75, or, you know, that if you play enough, at least consistency, that if you have a bad couple of rounds in a row, hopefully you won't jump that high. And then it means if you've got like a couple of low ones, it could be the thing that gets you over the line. Whereas like, I've got a lot of like real high scores, the ones where I've just walked off, that I've been like territory of like 1 minute being like 3 point something, to now being like, once there, I was at 5.9 or 6.1, and back down to like 5.5, and there's big jumps all over the place in my
Do you think I'll be? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, here's a hot take. Thinking about your last rant about people who cheat the system and that sort of stuff. In a perfect world, wouldn't it be cool if you had 20 counting, or no, you've got 8 counting rounds.
Yeah.
Like, they had to be a split between links and Parkland.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we always go on about lads who can just dink it around their really short course, get down to scratch, and then when they come to play in these big events,
now we're talking.
They're
now we're
never
talking.
At the level.
Yeah.
Imagine you had to have at least, say, 3 Parkland and 5 links, or vice versa. That would be interesting.
That's a very good point, because I'd say there's lads that show up to the West and that could be their first links round in a year or whatever. Do you think I'll be okay if I don't get there?
I think you're going to get there. I wouldn't worry.
Love it. Love the positivity.
You got to have that belief, Patrick.
The belief. Munster, 2006.
I would really, really like you to get there, just so we then have a different topic of conversation.
Yeah.
I know. It's funny it's I mentioned like Munster, actually, is because
you're torturing yourself each time.
I know. But like, I feel like Munster, like 2003 to 2005. Do you know, like, we've had a couple of finals. We've nearly had our hands on the trophy. and it's just been taken away. And they just, you know, they just didn't know were they ever going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. you'll have your day in Beirut.
I just know, Shani, that you're going to get to Scratch and then you're going to be like, well, like everyone says that plus two is the new Scratch, so I've got to get to plus two, and it's never ending. You'll never conquer golf.
Fact. Shout outs, lads. Shout outs. Who wants to start? And sorry, to the golfing fans out there, we will of course get to the crazy events of this week, but let us do our podcast bits first.
Yeah, we need our shout outs. I can go first. I have one close to home and then one a bit further away. First one today is shout out to, you know, Dean Crowley would want me to mention this, and it's huge for me as well. Shout out to our boy Simon Zeebo, announced his retirement today. Zeebo, it deserves a shout out. What a man, what a player, what a showman. One of my favorite rugby players of all time. Just, we're going to miss him. We're going to miss a fella who still scores tries, even though he clearly looks overweight on the wing or at fullback. But yeah, Zeebo's my first shout. Just, we're going to miss Zeebs.
Never rated him.
Oh, I absolutely love Zeebo. I love Zeebo. There was a bit of flair. He was something a bit different. It was like, remember when he first came out, it was like, yeah, no, I think his dad was a sprinter for France, so like he's going to be running, like, we were all talking that he thinks of running like 9 flat and just going to lightning, and he just turned out to be an absolute boy from Cork with a really cool second name.
I think I like any sportsman that can play with a smile on their face no matter what sport.
Yeah, and had his own celebration, the hands. I just think when I used to go to watch Munster games, he was such a fan favourite. The crowd loves him. I think he brings something different, so I'm going to miss him for that. And then the second one is huge shout out to Colin Costello. So Colin messaged us at Quack saying, listen to the podcast for the first time this week. Was at the dentist during the week to have a root canal done, and the dentist handed me a pair of headphones to listen to something while he was drilling away. As we are both golfers, he suggested the podcast. Shout out the dentist.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable listen. Same can't be said for the root canal, but it helped make the hour-long appointment go quickly. We'll definitely be tuning in again, albeit hopefully under better circumstances. So shout out Colin Costello. Hopefully you're listening to this. And
that was brilliant.
No issues with the root canal. And shout out to whoever the dentist is.
Yeah, if the dentist could get in touch, that'd be great. I'd love to know.
Yeah, dentist gives a shout out. We'll shout out your dental practice.
Can you imagine getting a root canal and they just put our voices on your head?
Oh, just imagine like drilling into your jaw and you hear Shani being like, I'm just trying to find the slot. I just can't. yeah, they're my two shout outs.
Lovely. Mr. Ben.
I know we're going to get onto it, but I just want to shout out Officer Gillis and his $80 pants, because that was the most extraordinary week of golf outside of the golf course. Officer Gillis is, of course, the man who arrested Scotty Scheffler at 6 a.m. on Friday morning.
Book him, Lou.
Which led to just excellent. But I just couldn't get over his $80 pants were damaged beyond repair. Don't know what that has to do with anything, really. As if Scotty took a 7 iron to them or something.
Yeah, like, we get into the Scotty thing now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Like, it was so crazy. My mother rang me and was like, are you going to do a podcast on this? You have to get on now. Have you seen what's happening over there in America? Sorry, Mom. But it was amazing, wasn't it? Like, basically, people that have no interest in golf were tuning in and figuring out what was going on.
It was a top 5 day of golf Twitter, I think. It was the memes. It was like pre... I'm trying to remember a time when Twitter wasn't made up of like porn bots and
like stupid stuff.
Stupid stuff. It was like prime memes were flying around. There was Photoshop pictures. It was just, it was hilarious. It was, we need more of that. And
I think let's be respectful to the death that happened. But at the same time, it was incredibly hilarious.
Yeah, another like story that I loved off that was John Daly pulling out. You see that of like, so he played the first round and then shot some high score and then pulled out in the second round. So he didn't even play the second round.
But he played in a cart as well, and his caddy wasn't allowed to put the bag on the cart because apparently that would be an advantage. And his caddy wasn't allowed to sit in the cart And then the guys that played with him were like, we didn't talk to him all the whole way around because he used to just like spin off the tee and he'd be straight up the fairway and they wouldn't see him.
But he definitely played one round and then there was a delay and he was like, ah, F this, I'm not going there again. Do you know? And just bailed on it. Like, again, what? It's so bizarre. It was funny because William was in the house and he was like, I'm over the Tiger Woods thing. He's like, I'm over Tiger playing in events. Just don't want to see it. Blah, blah. And I'm like, well, I mean, whoa, sorry. Just got a huge notification on my phone there. Maurizio Pochettino leaves Chelsea by mutual consent after just one season. I know we're not
Come
a golf,
on,
we're not a football
Chelsea.
podcast, but
Deserby.
Could be.
Yeah,
Deserby.
Deserby, surely. Yeah.
Sorry, I know we're not a football podcast for all the non-football
That's
listeners.
okay, Scott. That's okay. This don't take life too seriously, bro.
There you go. There you go. Hubert Edberg, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
What does anyone know what John Daly's injury is?
Oh, drinking 40 Diet Cokes a day and
I know,
700
but like,
bags.
Why does he have a
I think
car?
it's an illness. I think he may have had a bad illness at some point.
Like, surely Tiger's in line to get a cart. Like, if he went to a doctor,
He
a doctor
won't.
could. I know he won't, but like, also just like, why do you bother John Daly? Like,
I think John Daly is the perfect example of someone taking up a spot that shouldn't take up a spot. I'm kind of done. I'm done with the John Daly now.
Yeah, I don't know if John Daly would necessarily, if he takes up a spot, if like they make the field and then however many past champions makes up the rest of the field. So I don't know if he's taking a spot off someone, but yeah, why bother John? Come back, go to the champions dinner, have a few Diet Cokes, chat to the lads, but like, why bother teeing up? You know, you're not going to be there.
Anyway, on the Scotty thing, like, do you think, after hearing all the details, do you think it sounds like, obviously it's a crazy story, but do you think it actually sounds quite logical at the end of the day that there was a marshal told him to hop the curb and then further down the curb there was a guard going, hang on, who's this lad?
I just
Kind of makes sense, like.
yeah no I completely believe
Yeah, it
Scotty. Like, if
does.
you
It
look
does,
at the police report and like I said about your man's trousers, like he's covering himself there by saying, oh yeah, I know, he like pulled me to the ground, like I had my arm in his window, like my trousers got damaged because of it. Like, it's something of nothing. Like, I can't, like, there was no
Well,
intent from Scotty there to cause any harm.
welcome.
Yeah.
Shout out to Max Home as well for a fantastic tweet of
Free
Bad
Scotty.
Davis. Yeah, no, that was Minroo Lee when it's like hashtag
Okay.
Scotty. But Max Homer put one up, was it Sunday evening? And he was like, bad week on the golf course. I literally got beat by someone who was in prison on Friday. Which is just classic Max
And
Homer.
I was kind of like, when he did his first interview, I was really intrigued to see, like, was he scared or was he like, did it take him the stride? But he was genuinely like terrified.
Yeah.
Mm.
Also, like, a man of Jesus, like, he wouldn't have been expecting that. Like, that's, how do you repent for that?
Shout out to a long time follower of the pod, Mr. Steve O'Donoghue, who gave the coveted fantasy football league a good crack at the weekend, and he texts me saying, "Mr. Harmless, no more."
There you go. You know what, it actually, someone else texts me saying it, being like, oh, delighted now, someone else will probably win it. And I'm glad someone else won it. But it actually did kind of, like, this just shows how fickle I am. Like, it kind of made me like Scotty a bit more.
I love Scotty.
I've been
liking Scotty for the last few months. Loving
I'm
him.
not a huge Scotty fan, and I've been vocal about that. But and it's funny, just something like that now has made me been a bit like, well, I'm not gonna be rooting for him just because I like the fact that someone else was winning, because he's been going on such a crazy crazy run so far. But it did make me like him a bit more. And another one who I've been very vocal about my dislike for over the past couple of years is
Don't.
Bryson.
Okay. Oh yeah, I love Bryson too. Love him.
It's Bryson. I don't overly like Bryson. I think the YouTube series where I watched his videos, he kind of just annoyed me. But then I will say, Masu, did you see the video of him throwing the ball to the kid? And then some guy went out and grabbed it and tried to run away, and Bryson stopped and was like shouting at your man to come back. That made me like Bryson a bit more. I was like, you know, man of the people.
He was giving it socks on Sunday, wasn't he? I kind of liked that. I was
Yeah, he
I was
is
kind of
passionate.
like, yeah, fair play to you. Come on, let's do it. I like this.
There is one thing that I have to shout out on this podcast, and this is specifically for long-time listener and long-time abuser on Twitter and texting me, Gar Evans. If there's ever a chance to go at me on Quack social medias, he will. But all in good sport. He texts me saying, here's a bet for you. A mate of mine bet on Scotty to get top 20 for 20 tournaments in a row, and it's still going.
Oh, wow.
So the first one, it's on a spreadsheet. I have a screenshot. There's a lot of numbers, so I'm actually not 100% sure how much he's put on. But the first one started in the Century, and it's gone the Century, the American Express, AT&T and Pebble, Phoenix Open, Genesis Open, Arnold Palmer, the Players, Houston Open, the Masters, and I obviously now this one, I'm sure there's been events since there, right? Scotty's played, I think, but maybe not. So that could be 10 in a row now he's got.
I don't see him.
Sorry, that was
missing.
Looking, I actually didn't even realize where he finished. He was T8. That was such a backdoor top 10. Like, he was completely out of it, shot 6 under, and somehow got into the top 10.
You can't call that a backdoor top 10.
That was so backdoor. You can't go. What did he shoot on Saturday?
Sorry, I'd like to point out for this bet, it's top 20 for 20 tournaments in a row. Right. So it's a bit more leeway. But still, what a reckless bet.
Do you.
But like, Ben, my issue with the PGA Championship this weekend, look, we'll get to my shout out in a minute, but let's just. Yeah. But like, I thought it was like, it was pretty crap that like, if you had to have 4 good rounds in a row to still be within contention. Like, usually in a major championship, you're allowed a level par here or there. Or,
that's like, because
like one bad round from Rory, one bad round from Scotty, and they're both out of it. I hate
Valhalla
that.
Is not a good, well, it's a great golf course, but it's not a good major golf course.
It's not. Like, look, fair play to Shane, right? He had a great week, but like he had a very average to poor ball striking week for the first 3 days, yet he was nearly tied for the lead. So he was just getting up and down from everywhere. Yeah. He holed crazy amount of putts, like a kind of a freakish amount of putts. Yeah. So I don't know.
Like, I watched the whole final round. I watched watched more of that major, I'd say, than the Masters. But it's, once Schauffele got into position, there's no real danger of dropping shots if you're driving half well, because the greens are relatively simple, a lot of flat putts. There was never any jeopardy in that last round that Xander was going to fall away, because there was no real difficulty. And like, even if you get yourself into a bit of difficulty, you can chop out and then go from there. It seems like it's
always the how soft the greens are or how firm the greens are. That's the determination of whether. Because soon as you see a bit of a ball mark from a pro on a green, a bit of a soft green, they just start firing darts. Okay.
I also thought it was, while just on the last topic of the thing, was a couple of disappointments from the weekend. A lot of names thrown around. On the Quack Twitter, we put out a competition to see, getting, you know, guess the winner, etc. A couple of disappointing names that I had noted was Ludvig Haber.
Battling an injury.
He's injured.
Got a bad knee.
Yeah, still though. Matt Fitz, John Rahm also missed the cut. And there was another, so Adam Scott, and then West Cork's finest golfer, Denny McCarthy, also missed the cut, which was...
Did you see John Rahm's double hand club throw?
Yes. Yeah.
Incredible.
Shani, your best mate as well, Matthew Pavon. Not a great week in the PGA, missed the cut at 11 over.
Hang on, who said I was best mates with Matthew?
He's been running hot.
No,
he's,
my best mate is Corey Connors. Best.
Well, you keep talking about Matthew Pavon as a golfer. So
where did Corey Connors finish?
Corey Connors.
T26.
Do we think John Rahm is regretting his move to Liv?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. He's not just... I think you probably...
What do you need 500 million for? Like,
yeah.
Is he going to buy the Navy? Like, you know what I mean? Like, unless you're buying a fleet of
that
cruise
is,
ships.
that is the name of this week's podcast. What do you need 500 million for? Is he going to buy the Navy?
Like, I don't know. Actually, now that you think about it.
So, you know the way Tiger keeps coming out and saying that he's just really, really rusty. Like, I'm not getting the tournament reps. And like, so that makes you think, obviously, it's very important to play competitive golf before you lead into a tournament. But is the amount they play on Liv enough for combat? Like, if John decided to throw in a few more DP World events and played the week before a major like he would have traditionally, does that help him? Or do you need competitive reps against the best field? Or like, I'd love to know. Presumably your level is better when you're playing against the best people week in, week out, but that's not always the case for everyone. And like, DP World Tour players come over who aren't playing against the best field and win these events. But
I mean, Only one in the top 10, and that's Bryson. And then I think the next one after that is Dean Burmeister.
Yeah, but I think the Liv guys look at the fact that Bryson can finish second and Brooks can win one, and they go, well, like, I can still play on Liv and still compete in the majors.
Yeah.
But was top 20 qualifying for next year? Like, they still need to be careful about qualifying for them, I assume.
I think, well, I don't know. Most majors, it's like top 12 gets you in next year.
Lee but Hodges, it seems look out.
The USPGA have kind of set a precedent now for invites for future Liv. Like, if the merger or whatever doesn't happen in the next year and the USPGA rolls around, I think they'll be handing out invites like they did this year. And, like, I think there was probably a fair amount of Liv players got an invite in the end.
Yeah, yeah. Thomas Dietrich, T4.
Mr. Orange Glove himself.
Yeah. Like, do you know what I find funny about Thomas Dietrich? And it's just it just typifies golf for me. That if you were to watch him hit a 7-iron and then watch, let's say, Shane hit a 7-iron, like, Thomas Dietrich just looks like a piece of art when with his swing, but can't get the ball in the hole most weeks.
Well, here's one for you. Thomas Dietrich, I don't know if either of you know this, but Thomas Dietrich hasn't won on the PGA Tour or the European Tour before.
That's what I mean. Like, but like, if you watch him swing the golf club, it's like beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just can't win. I think he's had two professional wins, one on the Challenge Tour and one on a smaller tour, but he's never won on either tour.
I think he's a bit of a hothead. Yeah. I remember seeing him hit a 3-wood in Mount Juliet and it was absolutely beautiful, but it was like, missed the green by a yard and he club throw. I was like, come on, bud. Better than that.
I know.
Team Rose?
Great week, Team Rose.
How did you feel about Team Rose this week when you were watching him going, well,
I have no, no feelings towards him.
You were just,
I just, although interesting, you know, he used to be a big Bonobos man, the shirts and pants. Like, that's what
Pizza Place and Stony Batter.
I was just about to say, not quite the Steve Pizza Place and Stony Batter.
Anyway, they brought out like a whole, he's been with them for years, brought out a big Justin Rose line, all this sort of stuff. And then I see him wearing Peter Millar. So Team Rose obviously wasn't getting paid enough pants from Bonobos.
Team Rose is all about the dollar dollars.
I just find it so hard to root for him.
What about Big Bad Bob, though?
Yeah, Big Bad Bob, solid week.
He gets a lot of slack. Like, Randy from No Laying Up is like, he used Bob in the top 10 as an example of why this PGA Championship was a bad major. Well, I'm kind of like, come on, yeah, let's but give that's him a bit because, more respect than that.
Yeah, but that's because if JT Poston or like Lee Hodges had got there, they would have been a bit more up on it because he's an American that they like. Whereas the Europeans, they like certain token Europeans on like a lot of those the No Laying Up podcasts. They pick token Europeans and like, if it was Ober, they'd love it. But I think if you put in someone like even like a Dietrich or a McIntyre, someone who's not normally there, it's going to be like, oh, it's not great because they're not there. But you're like, you still have Schauffele, DeChambeau, Hovland, Morikawa, like big names in golf, Shane even, and then Scheffler in the top 10. So, and they love Billy Ho as well, so add him.
Shani, talk to me about your boy, Sahith. Shot the cat.
But like, come on, like, watching Sahith is like, is like watching Jordan Spieth on steroids. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, is this addressing the ball out of the heel a new thing? Like, I think it's definitely gotten worse.
That's kind
and
of
he's also like, he's also a man that, like, in his practice session, he'll intentionally hit shanks.
Yeah, I saw that video. That's
absolutely crazy. It would put the jitters up my old
man. He did hit a shank this week as well, didn't he? I think I saw him shanking a long iron.
He may have actually. But it's weird the way he addresses it. But he is full pedal to the metal from start to finish. There's no kind of like hybrid 7-iron to the middle of the green kind of stuff.
No.
I don't know if he'll ever win a big event like that, playing like that, though.
Yeah. Just on the course, and kind of seemingly it was a bit boring, but the leaderboard was stacked. So would you rather a stacked leaderboard of good players but a relatively boring course? Like, you have to go make eagles to win, because are going to make birdies? Or would you rather a leaderboard of Lee Hodges, T Moore, whoever that is, Austin Eckrode, and but it was on a really difficult course where you know there's a bit of jeopardy. Like, where's the open on this week or this this year? Troon. Like, Troon is going to give a bit of jeopardy because it's a links course. It's hard, it's fast. Yeah. Like, there's a chance that shit's going to happen. I would rather that and have a pretty shitty leaderboard than what we just watched this week.
100%. Like, I just never felt like Xander was going to shoot like 74.
No.
You know?
Yeah. That's
Do you know
thing.
What I mean? Like,
I would just love a leaderboard that's like the winner is 7 under or 6 under.
Yeah, you know, 10 under at the end of the week is perfect.
Like old school, just real hard golf, make it really. And I know sometimes like pros come out, they're like, "Oh, it's so difficult." And you're like, "Yeah, because you're the best golfers in the world. Go out there and you're all playing the same conditions. Like the course really shouldn't matter in the sense of being like how hard they make it. You're all playing the same conditions. You're all playing. Just go out and best person win. I just think that like 21 under to win the PGA. Like, what was the stat?
I think they got unlucky this week though because there was a lot of rain which made the green soft and they couldn't firm them up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
it's just kind of what was that stat been about like the combined score at a PGA was like 240 under par, whatever there was by the field, and the next best was 46 over par or something.
Yeah, it broke the record. Yeah.
Yeah, like that. You know, and fair enough, they got unlucky, but it's just I don't know. I much would rather see them trying to scrape to get up and down for par, and you see like their real short game skills as opposed to put into 4 or 5 feet each time and then birdie. Yeah.
What did you think of my boy Alejandro Tosti?
Made the cut.
Made the cut and enjoyed his driver on the last day.
I'd say that was like, because nobody else was doing that.
Yeah.
Sensation. It was like a tiny, nimble green.
Yeah, I saw Speed try it and I think he put it in the water. But yeah, fair play to him. Great weekend.
Rory finished T12, disappointing in the end after a kind of promising start. I don't know what a divorced looking person is, but he doesn't strike me as a divorce kind of guy. So I was very surprised when I heard that news at the start of the week.
Is he close to like Ross from Friends territory now? Like, was the first one a divorce?
No, it was an engagement broken off. Yeah.
Engagement, yeah.
It was.
I mean, where did you say he come? Where he came in? Tied 12th.
T12, yeah.
I mean, not bad after like.
No, I know, but like when you're Rory and you haven't won a major in 10 years, it's like majors are nothing. Like,
he's bounced back better than my parents did after their divorce. I mean, he's coming tied 12th for the PGA. He's doing well enough compared to him.
You went there.
I was surprised though.
It's sad.
I didn't expect to hear that news. Yeah, obviously with a little girl as well.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
It was one of those things of it just kind of like, sorry, what a 2 weeks in the world of golf for you.
I know. Crazy.
Like, you know, horrible, horrible that there's obviously a divorce, but also somebody passed away, a spectator being
correct,
like horrible scenarios. But like, you've got world number one gets arrested on the Friday of a major, gets pictured in like an orange jumpsuit. And then you've Rory the week or a couple of days beforehand announcing that he's filing divorce in a Florida court. You're just kind of like, wow, what's going to happen at the Open in Troon? Like, is someone going to... Is someone going to get a ferry over?
I know. I have a quote from my missus. And this was actually pre-divorce news, but she said Rory's all sizzle, no steak. Just reckons he'll just mop up these Wells Fargos and never get over the line again.
Like 2 weeks time is the RBC Canadian Open, and that man,
oh, he's winning that.
Like, he loves the Canadian Open. So.
And like as well, if you think about it, this was the week to do it because he usually murders these courses, soft greens and no trouble. And I just, I'm a Rory fan and always will, and it's hard. It's very hard.
Well, especially the week before, he just absolutely dismantled the golf course.
Yeah,
that's good golf. You're kind of like. Yeah.
Finally, thoughts on Victor? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, he's back.
He's back with his old golf coach, right? So
he's Joe Mayo,
How good must Joe Mayo feel about himself? Like, I can have that effect on a person.
Yeah. Joe Mayo, I don't know if you ever listened to him, but he's an incredibly intelligent man. He's like he's basically a mathematician.
Okay.
And his lessons are all, like, especially his short game lessons, like, he talks about vectors. Like, when's the last time I can't even remember what a vector is. I just remember my Leaving Cert maths class talking about vectors.
I thought like a Photoshop document.
I think I'm not even going to go into it, but we might need a fact check on a vector,
that
Scott.
That would be
But yeah, I've heard him talk about vectors when he's talking about chipping because he loves a bit of shaft lean and chipping. But yeah, he, like, Victor was considering not entering this event. But I feel like that's an easy quote. He was never not going to enter the event. I feel like as soon as he's a good first round, it's like, oh yeah, well, I wasn't going to show up, you know? And, but he was in a bad place. But I think he's timed it well, Big Vic, because like it's grand to go, like he played well in the Ryder Cup at the end of September, then had his slump up until, let's say, the Masters. And now he's got a top five in this major, and now he's got two majors left. So he timed it pretty well.
Have you seen, you know, the guy who writes songs about golfers, Sam something?
Sam Harrop.
Yeah, you may have seen him on Twitter. He backed Scheffler to win the Masters, Xander to win the USPGA, and he has Victor to win the British Open.
The US Open.
At like some crazy long odds. He put £1 on it, and he's going to return like 1,500 quid, but
that's
pretty good to pick them off so far.
Yeah. And like Victor's a big strong guy for hitting it out of the rough at the US Open. Could work.
Just like bomb gouge around there.
Bomb gouge, baby.
My
shout outs.
Are we still in that segment?
I think we are. There's no rules. I'm not gonna attempt his accent right, but shout out Andrew Coldheart, who I think is becoming my kind of low key favorite Sky Sports presenter. I'm not sure how you guys feel about that, but Seth Straka duffed a chip shot like just in front of his feet, and Andrew Coulthard, like, it was completely silent in the booth, and Andrew Coulthard just said, "That's lame." And in his thick Scottish Highlands accent, not sure if he's from the Highlands, pretty sure he's from Scotland, but it was pretty funny. Pretty funny. Can you give me a "that's lame" in a Scottish accent, Scott?
That's lame.
That's what it was. It was so perfect. Also, shout out to Mr. Tom Coyne. I met Mr. Tom Coyne at the links. And that man needs to be shouted out like more often. Like, that man walked the entire length and breadth of Ireland and played every single links course, I think it was. Yeah, every single links course in Ireland. Every single one of them. And he walked the entire length and breadth with, I think it was like a driver, a wedge, a 7-iron, and a putter or something.
Christ.
Length and breadth.
Yeah, did he go up and down? And where did he turn left and right? And
he walks the Wild Atlantic Way before it was even the Wild Atlantic Way.
How many courses do you know?
I don't know. I'm only halfway through the book.
He hasn't played golf yet. It's just on the back.
He's only got to Donegal.
So I haven't actually confirmed if he played them all yet.
But did he go from up to down or down to up?
Up to Kearney down or down to Kearney?
I think he might start in Kerry maybe and then move up. Because I think I'm in Donegal at the moment. I haven't come down the east yet.
So he starts in the book. Kerry.
I think he starts in Kerry and goes up that side.
But you're in Donegal. Do you not start the book where he starts?
Yeah, as in I'm halfway through the book, so he's in Donegal at the moment.
Oh, he's gone from Kerry up Dublin and around that way.
Yeah. No, he's gone from Kerry up Clare, Sligo.
Kerry up Dublin. What kind of map are you?
Yeah,
looking?
Where are you going, man?
I just meant up the east side of the country.
What do you think he's walking up the N11 or whatever?
Like, you're taking away from, like, I feel like that man, there should be a statue of that man in every golf course in Ireland.
What did you chat about?
Oh, me and Tom. Well, he was putting on the putting green and his back was to me, so we didn't even make eye contact, and I just went, "Tom." He was like, oh, hey, man. What's your name? And I was like, oh, hi, I'm Patrick. I'm reading your book. And he's like, okay, cool. And then it was a bit of an awkward silence. But we started talking. He had just played the links.
Nice.
And
what did he say?
Then he was very complimentary of it. I didn't get
12.
Into the...
It's an abomination.
It's an absolute...
Yes, problem. The 12th hole in the links is an abomination. That is not a quote from myself, but it is a quote from Michael Campbell, apparently.
Oh, it was Darren Clark.
I think it was both of them.
It was
maybe.
It was Scott Sullivan, I tell you. That's what
there's rumors doing the links that basically both of them said it. But yeah, he was picking up a poet and then driving to Rosapenna.
We're becoming more and more like the not in a good way, no laying up podcast. We're just here gushing over Tom Coyne.
Anyway, Tom Coyne. shout out. And then
I'm sure he'll
also also want to shout out Noling up Tour Sauce. Like, they're just brilliant. I know I'm shouting out another podcast. It's the third time I've mentioned them.
The third time,
Noling up Tour Sauce are absolutely brilliant. But just specifically, they played a course where there was a risk of snakes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but I would rather fight a bear on a golf course than have snakes on a golf course. I'd rather bears than snakes. I'd rather play in Canada, British Columbia, than Australia, snakes in the rough kind of stuff. What do you think?
Well, watching them like pad down the grass before they went into it to play their balls at the rough, like you can't hit a golf shot with any sort of concentration when you're scared a snake is going to nip your ankle. Like, that's
not for me. I'd rather like be able to see a big black bear than to not know that there's a snake beside me.
What course was that? Was it Cape Wickham?
It was the one when they got the little jet to the island.
Yeah, I think that they said at the end of it that was rated the best golf course in Australia now, and it didn't really do much for me watching it on TV.
Oh, okay.
Maybe because they played it on such a windy day, but it didn't make me want to go there. I would much rather go and play on the sandbelt in Melbourne.
What was it called?
Barnboogle? No.
No. It wasn't Cape Wickham.
Sorry, I wanted you to say it again because I'm just looking at the background of Shani's background. It's Chief Wiggum. And you're there. Was it Cape Wickham? I'm like, are you
I'll explain my background, right? It's just whenever they were talking about Scottie Scheffler and they were like, and he was booked this morning. I just couldn't stop thinking about The Simpsons and like, book him in.
I'm more meant that we're like, it just sounds like the most amateur podcast just making up. What was the name of that golf course? Cape Wickham? Is that Pete Wiggum?
But do you know what the biggest takeaway for me was from Australia and seeing the courses is they look like proper Lynx courses.
Yeah.
Like Lynxy.
I'd love to go on a golf trip to Australia.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm in the middle of kind of planning it, but
nice.
You're welcome to come with me.
Nice for some.
That can be season two after we've done Sweden next week.
Right. Well, do we want to shout out our lads and dads?
Yeah, go on. Can you name them all?
Definitely.
I can't. But we're going to Sweden. We're going north.
We are going. We're going into Copenhagen. Very, very much looking forward to a 6-day golf trip? 12 of us. Half of us are father and son. The other half are pretend father and son pairings. It's a highly, highly competitive couple of days of golf. Where fathers stop talking to sons and vice versa for missing putts. But yeah, we're flying into Copenhagen. We're doing a couple of nights there. We're playing two courses in and around Copenhagen and then down into drive across the big bridge into Malmo and then go south and playing a couple of courses in the south of Sweden, which is going to be fun. My extent of traveling to play golf has always been to Portugal or Spain. So it'll be interesting going to a completely new location. And can't wait to see what it's going to be like.
Can I shout out three reasons why you should go to Sweden and not Portugal?
Yeah, you haven't been
allowed,
there yet.
Hold on. You're allowed to do it as long as you do not mention no laying up in any.
Okay. Well, number one, it's a very short flight. I think it's only an hour and a half. Yeah. Right. Number two, the green fees are very, very reasonable. And the golf courses are very, very premium. I'm assuming, right? Yeah. And number three / four, the temperature is very 2021 kind of perfect. And with that, you get very long evenings, so you can play at any time of the day. And if you want to play 36.
I can't wait for us to do a podcast in 2 weeks' time for you to come on here and be like, never go to Denmark. It was a shit show. But I don't say that. I back all those reasons, and as Ben said, I'm just really excited to play somewhere that I have never been before to play golf. I mean, we've been to play golf in Portugal, Spain, those kind of places a couple of times. This is just going to be a whole new experience, and I get to work on my, like, really going to try and work on like my Nordic accent. At the moment, all I have is the, you know, the kind of yoo-hoo summer sale, a winter blowout, whatever,
big summer blowout.
Yeah, big summer blowout. So I need to work on that. So I'm gonna try and get, maybe I might get like a Swedish caddy. or something, you know, whether they just one of the rounds get a caddy.
I was thinking that, should we get a little four caddy?
Mine was just simply more for conversational, so you don't have to speak to the people in the group. But I mean, sure, you can get a caddy, just see where it's going as well.
Shani's in it to win it.
Yeah.
Scott, can we get a bit of research from Steve on a few saunas?
Oh, yeah, sauna. Yeah. There, I do know there is one in Sweden, but I think it's up north. That's actually in a cave. It's a sauna in a cave. So I'll see if there's a bit of research into kind of ones we could potentially go to. Or I could just Google it, to be fair. But
yeah, you could. You could.
Will we touch on the golf that's on this weekend?
Scott, let's touch on your golf trip. You're going on a pre-golf trip.
Oh yeah.
Trip.
You're cheating us.
Talk us through what's going on.
I said that I wasn't playing enough golf in Denmark and Sweden, that the week beforehand, I'm going to Rossapenna this weekend with a shout out, long time listener and contributor to the podcast, Sam McElroy, who there's a high chance we'll be listening to this podcast in the car on the drive up. Just to see all the times we make mistakes or Shani talks about no laying up. But we are playing Port Salon on Friday. And then we're doing two of the Rossapenna courses on Saturday and then the other one on Sunday. Not sure the actual order of the Rossapenna courses, but 3 days, four rounds of golf should be a good crack. Hoping for some good weather. Love just, and we were talking about it. I just can't wait to get back to Downings.
Oh,
pint in so Downings. Jealous. In Downings, but in Downings in the Harbour Bar, looking out over the harbour there in Downings. Just
man, how good is it to just play golf, you know, and you just get so much enjoyment out of playing golf because it lets you go and do these things. Like, I feel sorry for people who don't play golf and can't experience.
Yeah, 100%.
You can't go on a lad's holiday at the age of 30 but not have an activity.
So you're not going to go on a lad's tennis trip, are you? Like,
I was just thinking that. Like, you're not going to go on a lad's tennis trip and be like, oh, the courts there were just, oh, the clay. Yeah. See? But yeah, no, I'm excited for that. Hoping for some good weather. We'll send you all some pics of, you know, I'm really excited to go back to St. Patrick's Links after the last time we played it.
Yeah. I'd say it'd be lovely and like bedded in. Like last time we were there a few years ago, it was beautiful, but the greens felt a bit like young or something. They weren't quite there. So I'd say it's going to be absolutely prime.
Yeah.
Plus there's like barely any golf played on it. There's no golf in the winter. It's only just opened.
Oh, didn't know that.
It's going to be pure, Scott. I'm very jealous.
Oh, I'm going to be taking chunks out of the place.
Chunks out of the greens.
Yeah. Cannot wait. Not sure I'm going to get to watch much of the Charles Schwab Challenge in Colonial this week in Fort Worth, Texas. That is on. I'm assuming it's going to be Scotty.
I'm golfed out after the major.
Yeah, I just think after a major they should just take 2 weeks off. I don't really care.
Or maybe put a focus on the DP World after.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping for is this weekend somebody random wins it. Like, I think who won it last year?
Usually you get a nice feel good story after them.
Yeah, Emiliano Grillo won it last year. And like, I'm hoping for like that kind of winner this week. Next week is the Canadian Open, so naturally Rory's going to play unbelievable golf. Probably win it, and then after that is the Memorial, so which Victor won last year, right? So, you know, then you get the Memorial, and then I think it's US Open after that, so
it's good. Pretty soon after.
So two couple events that hopefully Scotty doesn't win, so it'll be a better story on all the PGA socials. Don't know how much of it I'll watch, but yeah. And then I actually don't know what's going on the European Tour this weekend, Ben.
We are in Belgium at the Soudal Open for the European Tour.
Marcel Seam win that last year, or do I have that in my head that he...
I don't know, but interesting you mentioned him because he just followed us on TikTok, which is incredibly random. So
shout out Marcel Seam.
Marcel.
What do you think Marcel Seam thinks of my cheating general playground?
No TikTok. Idea. I reckon it's being run by one of his kids or something.
Ben, you were at the US Open qualifier yesterday in Walton Heath.
It was beautiful, beautiful Walton Heath. God, I've walked that course twice now, and I really want to go and play it. I was actually chatting to one of the stewards who reckons it would cost you about £220 to give it a spin. So not sure if it'll be on my list, but beautiful course. It was a beautiful day. I stand by that the US Open qualifier is one of the best events. If you want to go watch the golf, you just wander down the fairways behind them, get real close. Like, there's no ropes. You can bring your dog.
Can I come with you next year?
Absolutely.
Where do I fly into?
Into Gatwick, and then just get a train down. That's what I did.
Nice.
But yeah, it was good.
Talk to me about Heathland.
Heathland. Yeah, it's pretty much just a Lynx, like Lynx style golf course, but it has like heath and heather kind of running through it, which is nasty enough stuff. Like if you're not driving it straight and you're going into this kind of heathery stuff, it like you can either lose your ball or they're basically like miniature trees that you're trying to hit out of.
Yeah.
So
was it firm baked out or still softish?
No, it was pretty firm all around. I think -9 or -9. So you play 36 holes. I think it was -9 or -10 got in. There was 9 guys got in, including Tom McKibben. So Robert Rock qualified, having retired from golf a couple of years ago. So he said this was his last attempt at trying to do it, and he managed to get in. So
did you see him hit any shots?
Saw him hit a few shots. Hatless Robert Rock.
Hatless, I was going to say.
Yeah, he's a smooth criminal. But yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, like I said, would love to get down to Walton Heath. Interestingly, Tom McKibben qualified, and when he was 12 years old, he won the World Golf Juniors at Pinehurst No. 2, and now he's going back, making his major debut at the age of 21. So that's got to be some good juju.
Yeah, that sounds like a Matty Fitzpatrick story in Boston a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Talking about winners, Simon Kerrigan with Botman and Robin won our Coverdit Fantasy Football League after a 38-game season. Mark Rossiter second, and previously mentioned Stephen O'Donoghue with Corn Netflix and Chilwell third. What does Simon Kerrigan win, lads?
I guess we better send him something, should we? A pair of socks?
Well done, Simon. 38 weeks of stress.
Shani, where did you finish?
We'll send you up. I'd say I finished third. I kind of once the journey to scratch took over post Christmas, I sort of finished 27th.
I finished 75th. I seriously gave up when I triple captained Salah and got 6 points out of it.
I'm assuming.
There's
201 teams in it.
This is the longest I've ever done fantasy. I lasted to about 7 or 8 weeks in the run-in, and I forgot one week, and I went, well, that's me done. So
201st, Rice baby, Dylan Shirley.
Dylan Shirley, even bigger shout-out. Dylan, that's embarrassing.
Well done, Dylan.
Wooden spoon.
Anything to finish us off, lads?
What else has been going on?
No, I think...
I need to find myself a driving range in the next kind of week and a half. I had the two-way miss going with the driver, so need to sort that out.
Will you send me a video of your swing, please?
Yeah.
Make sure you're in the middle of the frame and the camera is at the height of your hands and at your hands.
On this nerdy part of the podcast, I'm going to leave.
Right, I think we're done, lads.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, I prep for an intro, but I never prep for an outro.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
See you later, folks.
Cheers.
Ciao.